Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. A massive winter storm is now impacting 76 million Americans across 26 states. And as the wind starts to pick up and the snow falls a little harder in some spots, officials are warning people to stay inside. WWMT's Allie Ginger John is in West Michigan.
Crews have been out and about in Kalamazoo County since Tuesday night, salting and sanding roads. We're really starting to see that icy precipitation begin to fall. You can see even if you try to scrape it, kind of difficult to get through.
Hundreds of crashes have been reported, and nationwide, more than 1,500 flights have been grounded. President Biden met with NATO leaders in Poland today and discussed the ongoing Russian invasion of Ukraine. He says the U.S. will protect the alliance.
As NATO's eastern flank, you're in the front lines of our collective defense, and you know better than anyone what's at stake in this conflict, not just for Ukraine, but for the freedom of democracies throughout Europe and around the world.
Former President Trump made a stop in Ohio today to thank first responders following a toxic train derailment.
To the people of East Palestine and to the nearby communities in Ohio and Pennsylvania, we have told you loud and clear, you are not forgotten. You are not forgotten. We stand with you. We pray for you.
And he says he plans to donate thousands of bottles of cleaning supplies and bottled water. We're hearing new testimony now on a gay nightclub shooting in Colorado Springs.
In the first day of a hearing to decide if evidence is strong enough to proceed with charges against Anderson Aldrich, a Colorado Springs police detective says the 22-year-old ran a neo-Nazi website and used gay and racial slurs while online gaming. Five people were killed and many more injured in the November 19th attack. Another witness told investigators that Aldrich, who's non-binary, said their mother forced them to go to LGBTQ clubs.
That's CBS's Matt Piper reporting. In L.A., the man convicted of killing rapper Nipsey Hussle has learned his fate. Here's CBS's Steve Futterman.
Eric R. Holder, who was found guilty of killing Nipsey Hussle, was given 60 years to life. Holder was convicted of first-degree murder in the 2019 death of the rising rap star. Hussle was just reaching his peak with a series of hit songs.
All my life, been grinding all my life.
Hussle was shot by Holder outside his South L.A. clothing store. The two had known each other for years. Holder, like Hussle, was hoping to be a rap star.
How healthy are milks made from plants versus cows? CBS's Alexander Tin says the FDA wants people to know.
The FDA says companies making plant milks that fall short of their dairy peers should disclose on the label when they contain less of nutrients like vitamin D or calcium.
This is CBS News.
Find tools for the job site or your own backyard at over 10,000 authorized local steel dealers. Find yours at steelusa.com. STIHA.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. In Wisconsin's 8th Senate District, Republican Representative Dan Nodal moves forward to take on Democrat Jody Habish-Sinikin in the April 4th general election. Nodal defeating fellow state rep Janelle Branchen and Thiensville Village President Van Mobley last night with more than 50% of the vote in that three-way race. Republicans seeking to hold on to a supermajority in the state Senate, which give them power to remove impeached state officers. If Habish-Sinikin wins, she'll be the first Democrat to represent the 8th District in 30 years. The next round of wintry weather is here. Heavy snow falling in northern and central Wisconsin. Further south, the problem is sleet and freezing rain. Winds all over the state gusting 20 to 40 miles an hour at times. Travel will be dangerous for the rest of tonight and into tomorrow. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Don't you deserve a job you love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks, Jimmy K is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. すごい! Max Inc. Radio はすごいだと思います。I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great too. Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake, always streaming at WAUK. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Road in Minneapolis. Find their winter hours and full menu at scotchamamas.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Zoe, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
That's right. And I just want to remind everyone that this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. Well, so filling in.
No, that's all right. Hey, we got a jam-packed show here, Zoe. We got Rachel Thunder and a couple other people talking about what happened yesterday and what led up to yesterday with the rooftop protest, and really excited to amplify what's happening. It was a mess. We had Rachel on for a very short time yesterday, Zoe, and 100 police showed up, you know, for a peaceful protest that sounds so familiar here in Turtle Island and especially in Minneapolis. So I don't know what was going on with that. We played a lot of the footage when Ogum was on yesterday and at the end of the show, and it was just we have to hear an update from Rachel and check in with Joe. We haven't had Joe on the show in quite a while, so we're really, really excited. But before we do that, I want to tell everyone, we talk about Native news that you don't hear anywhere else, and I want to bring in Zoe here and talk about what's going on in Turtle Island and the news that you don't hear anywhere else here other than Native Roots Radio. Thanks, Zoe.
Miigwech. So our first story today comes from Indian Country Today. Conservationists are hoping to get an emergency court order to block the construction of a Nevada lithium mine after a U.S. judge directed a federal agency to revisit part of the approval of the construction. However, the judge has allowed the construction to move forward in the interim. Tulasi Brooks, which is a lawyer for the Western Watersheds Project, was quoted saying that this mine should not be allowed to destroy public land unless and until the Ninth Circuit has determined whether it was legally approved. The White House itself has said that this mine, which was planned by the Lithium Nevada Corporation, is necessary to continue efforts to produce raw materials for electric vehicle batteries. Others, however, speak of how it will harm the surrounding ecosystem and pollute the groundwater and air. Tribes have also requested relief, as the site is a sacred site to them. This issue follows a very long history of attacks on Native lands, similar, of course, to the Dakota Access Pipeline and Line 3 Pipeline. However, now Indigenous peoples, we must fight back against the nationwide movement for electric cars as they become the next environmental issue that we face. And in other news, this is coming from Indians' website. The U.S. Court of Appeals declared on February 2nd that the ban on access to firearms as it relates to domestic violence is unconstitutional because it does not fit within the U.S. historical tradition of firearm regulation. They went on to say that the rule, they went on to say that unless a crime has been committed and the perpetrator has been convicted, that perpetrator is still seen as innocent in the eyes of the law. And, you know, Robert, as many of us know, there's a lot of reasons why survivors of domestic violence don't feel safe enough to make reports to law enforcement regarding their abuse. Two of the most prevalent fears are that, of course, nothing will come of the report, as we know. I can't remember how many, of course, but recently it was found out that there are many, many SANE exams, or also known as rape kits, that had not been tested properly throughout the country. And because of that, you know, survivors know that little can be done about their situation, or little probably will be done about their situation, which is just a horrible reality that Indigenous women and all of our relatives face day to day. So studies across the U of S have also proven that domestic violence and femicide are critically linked, due to statistics that state that abusers with access to firearms are 5 times more likely to kill their female victims. So Strong Hearts Native Helpline CEO Lori Jump was quoted in the article stating that this action has removed one of the few tools that survivors have to protect themselves and their children. It is hard to reconcile the court's reliance on antiquated laws and their perceived intent with the statistics on femicide. So I just want to say also, if you or a loved one is currently experiencing a domestic violence situation, please call or text the Strong Hearts Native Helpline at 1-844-762-8483. That's 1-844-762-8483. Or visit their website at strongheartshelpline.org. I just thought that that was pretty, go ahead, Robert. That's pretty insane.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, too, I just want to, when you were speaking, and we've had Strong Hearts on many times on our show, and what a great organization, and please reach out to that 1-844-762-8433. You know, I've witnessed so much in my lifetime about blaming the victim, and that's huge, too, and I just want to add that to your story, too, that it's a common thing, it's a natural thing where people think that people deserve violence, and it's insane. And thank you so much for amplifying that story, Zoe.
Yeah, and you know, that goes to say that rape culture is very strong within our society, and in our Native community too. We really have to know those signs, you know, and to not affirm this idea that to be Native is to suffer from violence. I've heard that before, and it's really damaging to us as a people. It's really damaging to our youth. So, you know, organizations like the Strong Hearts are doing great work, and we need more of that work going on. On a happier note, according to CBC News, a new report has shown that Indigenous language learning is on the rise. And, you know, this is coming out of Canada. But we know that we have a lot of language revitalization also going on in the U.S. So around 17,000 people are learning their First Nations language in British Columbia. Last year, the province gave $35 million in funding towards supporting language revitalization. However, Indigenous organizations such as the First Peoples Cultural Council, which is actually the organization that made the report, are stating that consistent funding from the government is needed in order to make a true commitment to communities. According to the report, there are 34 indigenous languages spoken within the province and around 10,355 people who are fluent speakers, which is really incredible. And, you know, the number is rising, which is really beautiful to see because people have the misconception that our languages are dying. But, you know, we really can't. We can't believe that because then they will. We have to believe that they're going to continue to thrive no matter what. And a last little bit of news, you know, Robert, you already mentioned this. So last night, the Minneapolis Police Department conducted a raid on the Roof Depot occupation, and we'll be hearing more about that from our relative Rachel Thunder in the next segments to come. So really, really looking forward to hearing what transpired last night, and also what was said at the press conference today at MIWRC, also in South Minneapolis. So this has been your Native News with Zoe Allen, Chimi Gwich.
Right on, Zoe. I really appreciate it. Hey, up next, we got Joe Vitale and Rachel Thunder. We're going to talk about the rooftop situation yesterday and get the word out to our relatives all over Turtle Island. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Stay with us, please. Ho-wah.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Senior Linkage Line is a free statewide service of the Minnesota Board on Aging, helping older Minnesotans and caregivers find answers and connect to services and supports. Questions about Medicare, transportation, looking to move to senior housing, overwhelmed with prescription drug plans? Call the Senior Linkage Line at 800-333-2433 or visit trellisconnects.org, where we help people optimize well-being as they age. That's trellisconnects.org.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute of Minneapolis.
Thanks, Zoe. Hey, great to see you, Joe Vitale, and of course, Rachel Thunder. Joe, I want to go to you first, and then we'll get into Rachel, what happened last night. But Joe, I've seen you boots on the ground on this issue from day one with the city council and you speaking good words. Welcome to Native Roots Radio, and thanks so much for being on, Joe.
No, McGwich, for having me. Hope, Buju, Majin Wiju, Adijinakas, hello, all my relatives. My name is South Mountain, Joe Vital. I am a citizen of the Red Lake Nation and also a proud Mexican. And as Robert has described, I have been a part of the Roof Depot fight for the past 2.5 years. However, it's been going on for 8. I'm part of the newest iteration of the struggle. And what we are talking about today is the idea of community autonomy of what their neighborhood looks and feels like. And what we're especially concerned with in this particular issue is the Roof Depot, which sits at 28th and Longfellow, which has a legacy of industrial pollution that goes all the way back to the 1940s, where there was originally a pesticide plant that dumped arsenic in the neighboring community going up to the 60s. And unfortunately, that arsenic was encapsulated underneath the Roof Depot building, you know, amongst many things, you know, that pesticide arsenic was allowed to drift into the neighboring community, and it was allowed to do so for decades, where that site was then declared a Superfund site in the early 2000s, with cleanup going up to the about 2017 was when the last home was, the soil had to be physically removed. So that's, you know, back in 2017, that's when the soil was removed. When the site, the designation status was then removed, community had an idea as to what to do with the Roof Depot building, because by then, the community became aware that, you know, the owner wanted to sell, and the community wanted to buy the building and retrofit it to become a multi-use, mixed-use development project. And, you know, there were countless community meetings that took place, in which, you know, and we're talking about meetings with multicultural groups, because East Phillips is very, is heavily diverse. It's one of the most diverse communities in the state, at least per capita. We're talking about our East African relatives, our Latinx relatives from Mexico and Guatemala, as well as Little Earth resides there. So our indigenous relatives are there, and our white relatives, and all came together to come up with this project to address some of the root issues they are experiencing daily. So we were talking about fresh foods, because East Phillips is currently a food desert. You know, we're talking about green jobs, a job training facility where folks would be trained in on, you know, how to maintain solar panels, electrical vehicle maintenance, you know, green, thinking about the future, that green economy, as well as having public space. Because if anybody who is listening has tried to reserve space for a meeting, let alone a training, it is nearly impossible because public space is at a premium. Unfortunately, the city of Minneapolis used eminent domain on the owner and forcibly took the site from them to expand its current work facility that is neighboring of Roof Depot. They're on 27th in Hiawatha. And what they want to do is demolish the building and expand its truck yard to consolidate all of the diesel vehicles as well as their equipment on this site. And I mentioned briefly that East Phillips is highly diverse. It's also incredibly poor. The average income in the area is about $33,000 for the family, and it actually drops significantly to $10,000 for our relatives in Little Earth. And so we're talking about a very diverse, deeply poor area. And it's also a green zone, which is a city policy that mandates that the city, you know, invest in green infrastructure in the area, that it reduces air pollution in the area. However, this is a classic example of environmental racism, where the city is ignoring its own environmental policies because it messes with their profit margins. Because, you know, I talked about the consolidation efforts that's going into this project. And those other facilities that currently house the trucks, that currently house the equipment, are in prime real estate. We're talking about real estate in Southwest Minneapolis, Northeast Minneapolis. They're in downtown Minneapolis, all premium, where they want to sell to developers to make a profit. And the city claims this will reduce emissions, except they're centralizing the pollution that comes with this project in East Phillips. And that's after the fact that they expose the residents to arsenic, which again would trigger the Superfund status.
Wow, Joe, that's amazing what you just said there. One of the things I want to ask you, and last time I knew that when you had a diesel engine, you had to warm it up for a long time, and especially in this weather. So to consolidate that air, as you spoke earlier, with X amount of trucks is just insane.
It's completely backwards. And, you know, I talked about the policy that, you know, dictates that the city needs to reduce emissions in these areas. You know, East Phillips is inside of a green zone. You know, it's the south side green zone. There's a north side green zone next to Northern Metals and where Upper Harbor used to be. But we all know that when it comes to the almighty dollar, our government will look the other way for its own benefit. And I'm glad you talked about, you know, warming up a vehicle, because this isn't just one truck. This isn't even just a fleet of trucks. We're talking about hundreds of vehicles. The site plans include 888 parking spots for its entire fleet. So we're talking about significant pollution that is coming into this area. And Roof Depot or the city's project is just like the tipping point of the problems that exist there. We're talking about Hiawatha runs across, Cedar Avenue cuts right through East Phillips. And then, you know, I'm not even discussing Smith Foundry and Bituminous Roadways, that is an asphalt plant that also pollutes the neighborhood. So yeah, we're just adding to that cumulative impact.
And I want to let our Wisconsin relatives know we're all over Turtle Island and on civic media and, of course, on the local AM 950 here, that this is a poor part, as Joe said, poor part of town. So we get into this, you know, not showing up, not caring. You know, these meetings go on during the day when people are trying to work. Rachel, I want to grab you, get you in here. And one of the things I wanted to say that I think you brought up, or one of our newscast were brought up about this specifically, is that the language of the invite was only in English. And we have so many diverse people here, Rachel.
Right. No, that was a comment. In fact, that was brought up by Jolene Jones from Little Earth at our press conference today at MIWRC. And, you know, initially when there were meetings happening about the site, the invitations went out to different communities here. And all of the invitations were sent in English. When you have one of the most diverse, the most diverse community in Minneapolis, you have... you know, your Latina, Hispanic community, you have, you know, Somalian community, and none of these invites were sent out in any of those languages other than English. So, of course, you know, they just threw them in the trash. And then on top of that, not one single invite was sent to one home at Little Earth. You know, out of over 200 homes, they just decided to not send those invitations out to the largest indigenous population here in South Minneapolis.
Well, Rachel, I appreciate you being on today. And I think as we went live when you left us yesterday and played some video that was going live out there, of course, with not the audio, because you never know who's going to swear. It looked like we were dealing with Standing Rock, with Line 3, with the uranium and the Black Hills, all these things where we had overabundance of police last night to round us up, you know. And thank you for being there. And we got less than a minute left here in this segment, and I want to really talk to you about what went down, because this is not right. And this is, again, attack on Native Americans, peaceful protesters that can't speak their mind in a city that's supposed to be diverse. But we know each day that this is not what Minneapolis is about, whether it's the police department, whether it's the mayor, whether it's officials that, you know, Joe has been dealing with. I mean, I saw Joe at the city council, and you know, these are people are supposed to be supporting us. So Rachel, we're gonna dive deep into this, and Joe, stay on too, because this is so important for all our people around Turtle Island to hear what's still going on to us brown and black people all over Turtle Island here. And it's well, it's sickening. So we'll come back in a few seconds. Thank you so much, you guys, for being on. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Stay with us, please. Ho-wa.
Hey, Twin Cities, Latunji with Latunji's Palette Bakery and Cafe, located at 1400 Park Avenue South in the Elliott Park community. We invite you to discover the best peach cobbler, coffee, soups, salads, and sandwiches in the Twin Cities.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
CBS News Brief. More than two dozen states are getting hit with what could be a historic winter storm right now.
I'm Shamira Owens, and here in Lansing, one thing's for sure, it is cold and an icy mess. The road crews have been out salting the roads to make sure that they're safer for drivers, and they warn that if you don't have to go out, you should stay in.
Michigan, Minnesota, parts of that region could get up to 2 feet of snow. President Biden talked to ABC News and says it's not very responsible of Russia to pull out of a nuclear treaty with the U.S.
I think it's a mistake, and I'm confident we'll be able to work it out.
Former President Trump was in Ohio today delivering food and water to residents impacted by a train derailment.
Well, we brought a lot of people with us, and more importantly, we brought the federal government with us because when they heard I was coming, they all came. They weren't going to come. They were going to leave you abandoned, and now they're not.
The EPA has been there handling cleanup efforts. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. There's nowhere to hide from a massive snowstorm hitting Wisconsin today, tonight, and tomorrow. The entire state is under one kind of a weather warning or another, but northern and central Wisconsin are getting the worst of it. Voters have a clear choice when they choose the next Wisconsin Supreme Court justice in April. Conservative Dan Kelly says Janet Protasiewicz is too liberal.
If we do not resist this assault on our Constitution and our liberties, we will lose the rule of law and will find ourselves saddled with the rule of Janet. We must not allow this to come to pass.
Observers expect a rough and expensive race. In sports, Marquette beat Creighton last night, 73-71. The Badgers host Iowa tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Near the intersection of Nicollet Avenue and West Diamond Lake Road in Minneapolis. Find their winter hours and full menu at scotchamamas.com.
This is Winona Duke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for the future generations. Ow!
Okay, that's usually the last segment, but you got me surprised there. And we're here with Joe Vitale and Rachel Thunder. And what I want to do, Rachel, is talk about tomorrow, yesterday morning, the American Indian Movement, people from all over the community came to this area and had put up a teepee. That's start from the morning and end up where the police came.
Right. So yesterday at sunrise, members of the American Indian Movement, Little Earth Protectors, Indigenous community members, and allies entered the gates outside of the Sears warehouse at East 27th and Longfellow Avenue at the Roof Depot, beginning a ceremonial occupation of the Roof Depot site. We lit a spirit fire, held a sunrise ceremony that was run by Fred DeCharlet, filled our pipes. We put up a teepee and began setting up camp, in a prayerful and a ceremonial way. And I also wanted to thank everyone who supported and helped. The outpouring of support from the community and allies was beautiful, uplifting, and unifying of the South Minneapolis community. And during the entire occupation, there was never any drugs, alcohol, weapons, violence. None of that was present at Camp Ninicasi. And the prayer and ceremony held at this site was led by Indigenous community members for the betterment, protection, and health of all of South Minneapolis community, the land, and future generations to stop demolition that's set for the 27th of February.
Right. So the day went on. I saw there was food. I saw there was, coffee. I saw there was people sharing and talking to each other in a good way. Mm-hmm. And then later on when you were on our show, basically all hell broke loose.
Yes. So the entire Minneapolis Police Department encircled the neighborhood at 6:15 p.m. And we were actually getting calls from some of our relatives that live close to Hiawatha saying there's hundreds of police officers coming your way. There were so many that they took up in the entirety of Hiawatha and were blocking intersections and holding up traffic. They shut down all of Hiawatha, 26th Street, 27th, 28th, and even the footbridge that crosses Hiawatha. The Minneapolis Police Department surrounded Camp Ninicasi and ordered us to disperse within 10 minutes. The police department used a saw to cut through the chain link fence on the south side of camp, and police began detaining our women, aunties, and women around 7:15 p.m., including myself, along with about seven other Indigenous relatives that were in prayer and ceremony at that time.
So, Rachel, one of the things that the police do now, I heard, and maybe, Joe, you can jump in too, is they will not arrest people. They put them in the car and drive them a long ways away, and then there's no arrest report. But yet they've broke up this, in our case, a peaceful, prayerful occupation, and dropped you off in the middle of nowhere to come fend for yourself and get back to your car and get people to pick you up. Is that what happened last night?
Yeah. So when we were arrested, I was told that I was going to be taken downtown and that they were going to make sure that I stayed down there as long as possible, that they would draw the process out as long as possible. And then a call came in from higher up and said that it would be bad for optics if they brought me downtown. So they kept transferring me between different cruisers. At one point, my leg was injured when one of the officers was trying to shove my right leg into the vehicle because I couldn't get my leg in there. I actually had to go to the doctor today to get that looked at. And they said that they were charging me with a misdemeanor for trespassing, but they never read me my rights. They never gave me any paperwork. They ended up then putting me in a van and then into another cruiser. and said that they were just going to take me somewhere and drop me off. And I asked them to take me to Little Earth, and they said no, that they wouldn't do that, that it was too close, and that I would just come back. We drove around for a little bit, and then they ended up finally dropping us off in the street in front of Homeward Bound shelter, the AICDC shelter. They didn't want to go into the parking lot, so they dropped us off in the street there.
Wow. Joe, to your knowledge, is that what the what's happening now? Is that what the Minneapolis police are about? So there's no record in their actions because they're not arresting people now?
Yeah, that's correct. It's something we've seen ever since the uprising after the murder of George Floyd by the Minneapolis Police Department back in 2020, where we had the peaceful protests disrupted by police going up 35. And those folks, you know, hundreds of folks were picked up and dropped off across the Twin Cities with, like you said, no ride, having to fend for themselves. At the time, the reasoning was because the jail cells were full and COVID was an issue. But nowadays it is to intimidate and discourage activists from participating in future actions. However, it's not going to work in this instance. We see through the lies, and, you know, we don't see yesterday as a loss. As Rachel mentioned, so many of our relatives came together because what we know is righteous. And we will be back, maybe not in that site, but as we'll discuss in a little bit, we will be back in different forms.
Yeah, that's where I kind of want to go next, Rachel, without giving away your plan. This is not going to end, right? And even though we're going to have 20 inches of snow here, is the February 27th date still a go?
So as far as we understand, yes, demolition is still set for February the 27th. We drove by the site today, and they're reinforcing it with like a second layer of fence, kind of similar to how they barricade with fences after the riots with the concrete barriers at the bottom. But no, you're absolutely right, Robert. This fight isn't over. This prayer isn't over. And, you know, a point that I wanted to make, too, is that the Minneapolis Police Department, you know, states that they are not going to be responding to nonviolent crimes. So why did they respond in such a force to this? It was crazy, the amount of police officers that were there. Like, I never see one police officer show up for any, you know, anything here in our communities, not for drug dealers, for, you know, our women being trafficked, for John's, you know, patrolling our neighborhoods, for our missing murdered Indigenous women. But the entire Minneapolis Police Department can show up because Mayor Fry ordered it, you know, for a peaceful, prayerful, sober, no drugs, no alcohol, no weapons, no violence, you know, none of those things present in our camp, you know, and grounded in prayer and ceremony. It doesn't surprise me.
Well, Joe, you know, what do we say to these politicians? And I know a Fry, for instance, came to the community for the vote, promised things. What do we say? And what do we say to these politicians that really, I don't know, basically lied to us just to get our vote, to simply put it?
Yeah, I think it's something you've been advocating for our relatives for a long time, Robert, which is remember, account for how our politicians vote. And if they don't vote in favor of our community, we have to vote them out. We have to remember that Fry will be going up for re-election, as well as all city council members. Well, Fry is in 2 years, but other city council members are this year. So this is the way we hold folks accountable, which is knowing when the caucus dates are, and then also, you know, getting involved with all of that and making sure that we get these folks out of there and speaking your truth.
Yeah.
We can't continue to have this type of genocide in our institutions.
What a way to put it. Rachel, what do we got going next here? What is our call to action to people that are listening, people that live in the Twin Cities and all around Turtle mm-hmm. Island?
I would say people that live in Minneapolis and in the Twin Cities, call the city council members, you know, even those that are in different wards than for here than just South Minneapolis. We are going to be pushing for a revote. City Council has a meeting tomorrow at 9:30, and we are organizing a caravan from Little Earth to the City Council meeting. So we're asking everybody to meet at Little Earth at 8. We're going to be handing out $30 gas cards per vehicle. And it's okay if you don't have a vehicle. There's going to be plenty of space to jump into somebody else's car, and we'll make sure that you get a ride back. We just want to make sure that we have as much representation there at City Council at that meeting for our voices to be heard and unified.
Wow, that's perfect. Joe, what's your thoughts? This is what democracy looks like, and we aren't seeing that from the bad guys' side.
No, and we have to look at the bigger picture here, where it's embarrassing. Where, I mean, granted, we want the Capitol acting in the best interests of folks in the Twin Cities, or in fact, for all of folks of Minneapolis or Minnesota. But it's embarrassing where the city of Minneapolis is doing more harm to its residents than the state. And again, keep an account of how folks vote, you know, vote them out. As Rachel said, the actions are not done. We have tomorrow. Then we have a block party on Sunday at 2 p.m. You know, the movement doesn't stop with yesterday, nor does it stop tomorrow.
Wow. Good way to put that. We got less than a minute of this segment, Rachel. I just want to give you kudos for moving back to the Twin Cities here and the strong Native person that you are. I see you around the neighborhood. I see you at the Capitol. I see you at good places where you speak the truth. And I just want to personally say it's great to have you here back in the Twin Cities and helping our people all over Turtle Island.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Robert. It's good to be here.
Zoe, we got less than a minute left. You got anything to talk to ask our relatives before we let them go?
Oh, thank you guys so much for being here. Oh my gosh, it's really important to hear from you as you were there and your experiences too, Rachel. Just that is insane and good to know that, you know, MPD is not making arrests anymore. I've been a part of a lot of Line 3 stuff, and even since then, things have changed. And it just seems like they are just ramping up their efforts every time. And so it is discouraging, but knowing that you guys are out there doing the good work, you know,
makes it absolutely
better.
Show up at the Minneapolis City Council meeting tomorrow at 9:30. Let's do it. Rideshare available at Little Earth starting at 8. Thank you so much, you two, for being on. You are our idols and your boots on the ground. Thank you, Joe. And thank you so much, Rachel. We'll be back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. RamseyCounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic located on Franklin Ave in Minneapolis.
Hey, we prematurely said hi, Juoni, to Rachel Thunder. I know she's got a couple more things to speak upon, which I appreciate you staying on. Though, if you didn't stay on, Rachel, that means Zoe and I would have to make up some stuff the last 10 minutes of the show. So I'm glad you're still on, and let's speak your truth. Ho-wa.
Thank you, Robert. You know, at the end of the day, it's important to remember that this land that we're here on, in South Minneapolis, in the Minneapolis community, falls under treaties that were signed with the Dakota people with Fort Snelling here in the early 1800s. And all of those treaties were broken and not honored by the United States government. There were certain payments and resources that were to be made to the Dakota people, and they were never received. So, you know, when we're peacefully there and when we're prayerfully there and we're arrested and charged with trespassing by the city of Minneapolis, how is that possible? Because all of this is stolen land. How can we as indigenous people be trespassing on stolen land? And the militarization of the Minneapolis Police Department is just another moment in this ongoing saga and war that the United States people has against our First Nations people as the original people of Turtle Island. So I just wanted to share that, Robert, that, you know, yes, this is about the Roof Depot. Yes, this is about keeping pollution and toxins out of our communities. Yes, this is about having clean air and clean water for our people. But this is also about treaty rights. And, you know, that us as the original landlords of this land, so to say, that we have every right to pray, have ceremony, and anywhere that we want on this land, that because it's all sovereign indigenous land.
That's a great point. And I think that's a thing that we like to talk about, but we don't talk about enough. We talk about it probably once a week, maybe on Tuesdays. When we talk about treaties, but treaties do matter. And, you know, there's been many treaties here in Minnesota. And the only treaty that this country seems to have agreed upon is none. And that paints a pale picture for our people out there. And Rachel and Zoe, it's great that we're talking about this only because we have so many people out there. We have so many white people that want to help and want to learn. And we are all treaty people, as we talk about. The treaties work both ways. They're to protect not only us, but the other treaty signers. And we always have to bring that up again, Rachel.
No, you're absolutely right, Robert. Treaties are sovereign nation to sovereign nation agreements. And so there's terms for each of those sovereign nations. So in the terms of these treaties that we're talking about specifically here, that would be sovereign nation as the Dakota people and the sovereign nation of the United States negotiating and agreeing on terms. And the terms by the Dakota people were upheld, but the terms by the United States government were not upheld.
And what do we say all the time? I see T-shirts, I see memes or whatever they're called about, you know, we're in the Constitution, that treaties are what? The supreme law of the land. And, it, you know, we get people talking about things like the Second Amendment and amendments that are very, how do you say, convenient for the quoter, but but not convenient for what's reality in these treaties and in their constitution.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there's a lot of issues that we face here as the Indigenous community of South Minneapolis that is seems to be shared across Indian country. You know, and many of those things are not being addressed by the city of Minneapolis. You know, one being the evictions of our unhoused relatives here on the streets of Minneapolis and the limited resources that is put towards them and the injustices that they face. And I mean, that is evident in this raid that came on our camp that was peaceful and prayerful and sober. You know, all of those things, and the entire Minneapolis Police Department showed up. And so I personally feel and believe that these camp evictions should be illegal, especially during the winter months. It's a death note.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we only got a couple minutes left, but Rachel, I'm going to ask you to do something for us. When you were at the Capitol, you spoke and you quoted John Trudell. Do you remember what you said?
Yes, I do. I said that the system of oppression, these colonial governments like the United States, the only thing that they care about is power. And power to them is money, and money is an illusion of power. And the only true power comes from the earth. And as Indigenous people, that's where we draw our power. And that scares the government and these city governments as well.
Exactly. And that's big reason why we couldn't, do our own religion until 1978 when Rachel, I know I look young, but I was a junior in high school when that law changed. And it's the irony of there's only certain rights for certain people. And we fell way behind on that as the people of this land, First Nations, as the Canadian brothers and sisters talk about, but this is our land. And, you know, we are talking about land back. We're talking about things that that are happening and they're going to happen. You know, I always told my students when I was in high school is that this thing called democracy is not going to last. They're trying to do this, and we need to be ready to take our land back because this is going to fail one day. And I always kidded with my kids and said, "You're not ready. Learn your language. Learn to make food, and you know those things." But there's things happening with somebody like you, with Zoe being young, and Rachel, you're young, and it makes older people like myself really. Really thankful and grateful of the future of our Indigenous leaders like you two.
I also wanted to just ask before you go, Rachel, is there a website, an Instagram where people can donate or just, you know, stay updated with what's happening as this develops? I know that the Defend the Depot Instagram is what I've been following. Is that what you'd recommend or...
Yeah, so there's the Defend the Depot on Instagram, and I believe on Facebook as well. And then I would follow EPNI, E-P, the East Phillips Neighborhood Institute. That's E-P-N-I. Follow them on Facebook as well.
Well, again, you know, I'm really sitting here as a proud uncle, Rachel and Zoe and Ogama and all the young people that contribute to this show, but also contribute to our community. And, you know, to get our white allies out there listening and supporting us, which they want to do so dearly. And so it's good to have these good words out there. It's also good, you know, I'm getting texts right now from people that we all know and listening to the show and supporting the American Indian Movement with Rachel and, you know, Joe, and I'm just really, really happy and so grateful that you were on. Thank you, Zoe, for the news. Hey, you've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.